The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. It's extremely cold in the studio right now, and I'm tired. I had left the house unheated while I was doing errands, and when I came back, the whole house was super cold. It's very cold in my studio right now. D1 Dipshit says, wow, I can never catch the start of the show. Well, here we are at the start of the show. Pregnant turkeys, the prank to pull on young girls at Thanksgiving. So they are putting a little baby turkey or a chicken inside the turkey, a Cornish hen, so that they think there's a baby that she was pregnant. I guess it's one way to sensitize the youth, the female youth, to pronatalism, put pregnancy on their mind. I guess. I hope it doesn't traumatize them. Cat's Dad says the torch doesn't provide heat. No, unfortunately, this torch is so energy efficient that I cannot hope to get any heat from it, even secondary heat. At this point, LEDs have become so performant, they don't produce barely any heat. Marby Dog says it's cold in Denver too, but not Alberta cold. All right. Someone really summarized how we should see those people who keep saying that it's race betrayal for white men to date outside of their race. Chimp said, men reserve the right to inseminate and pass on their genes in this manner as a last resort. Because that was in response to Arval saying, men with non-white wives, you're making me sad. And a lot of people have been always pushing me back. The keyboard warriors of nationalism have been often pushing back on my statement that no, if sorry, I'm very cold. my brain is working half speed, so very sorry, but it's impossible to think clearly in this cold. The heater is throwing some hot air, so it should improve. I've been criticized a lot for my statement that, yeah, men should date outside of the white race if they need to, especially if they are rejected from within their own group. You cannot sterilize men. You cannot say, men, I'm asking you out of loyalty. I'm asking you to completely destroy your own genes, to accept that you will be sterilized forever. The fact is there is much more sperm availability than there is egg availability. And that's purely because of women. That's because women have decided all of a sudden that they were doing one or two babies per life, whereas they used to make six or seven. That's the problem we're faced with. So that creates surplus males. Now, you always need to let the surplus males have other options, or else you're truly just punishing them for the fun of punishing them. It's not helping the white race that they stay sterile for the rest of their lives because women have decided that they were not only not making many babies, but they were all trying to do it with the same guy. That is not the responsibility of men to honor this dereliction of duty. Gus Grizzell says the tattoos and nose rings. Well, that's another subject. Marby Dog says most white women I know are extremely left-wing. I prefer white, but sometimes I can't deal with the BS. Absolutely. Which is why there's going to need to be a fix. The fix will either be purely internal, where 90% of the current woman genes that makes them behave the way they're currently behaving will disappear evolutionarily. Now, what is then? What should be your strategy as a man in this setup? Well, you need to find a way to, despite the behavioral issues of the modern woman, you need to find a way to have 5 to 10 babies. And if that way involves having many women, that is one after the other, that is one thing you can do. Or having women from another race, that is the other option. But we can't ask men to just stay alive and sterile for the rest of their days and masturbate to porn just because we can't provide them with a fertile other partner of reproduction. That is, and anyways, there's gonna have to be an evolutionary fix. The current feminism and leftism of the white female is unsustainable evolutionarily. So either the extremist of the white females will overpopulate, and in certain areas we will have white populations that aren't feminist anymore, or you're going to import genes from the outside to fix this problem. But any group that decides that they have one or two babies per couple is doomed. So the choice of males very often is not, do I reproduce within my own race or outside of it? The real choice is, do I accept my doom or do I reproduce outside my race? They don't get to have the choice of having 7 babies with a single woman. That's not happening. Get Some Herbs says, I date Asian women. They are accepting. Okay. He says, I am a surplus man. I am an ugly-faced guy who is white. Yeah, so many of this. Perfectly viable men, but you know, they're not 10 out of 10 or 9 out of 10. Maybe they're 5 out of 10, 4 out of 10, and absolutely impossible for them to have a family. Absolutely impossible, unless they have some very specific, highly desirable feature in the domain of finances or something else, public recognition, celebrity, but other than this, forget about it. Marby Dog says, 4 kids should be the goal of every white woman, and we are not even close. Absolutely. We are so far from this, which is why most territory will be lost that used to be controlled by white people. Teachers, unions, DeSantis and Elon. And this time, Elon is the one speaking for most parents. Ron DeSantis jumped on a new leaked NEA docs like they were campaign fuel, accusing teacher unions of treating schools as political machines for adults, not kids. His claim, the unions didn't fight to keep schools closed during COVID for safety. They did it for power. The leaked material, a training lineup heavy on race, class, gender framing, anti-GOP messaging, and guidance for staff on gender transitions. Not exactly multiplication tables. And Elon chimes in, they need to focus on teaching, not political indoctrination. Is there even a divide between these concepts? Teaching and political indoctrination. Teaching what? You either have the genetic interest of the people you teach to, in which case you're their parents, and you are invested in their success, and in which case you want to teach them or put ideas in their heads that will improve their lives, that will continue your line of descent, or you're not, and then you're a public school teacher. And then what is the distinction between teaching and indoctrination? When we teach certain facts, it's all with the idea of creating these good little employees for the system to create an offer on the market of employment, to create people who are submissive to certain socially engineered ideas. Marby Dog says, teachers are using schools as political devices. It is impossible to argue against the truth of this statement. Well, any act of education down the line is politics. There's no such, because we're already, anyways, jungling with the truth. We can't even agree on, can we say the truths that at least we know? Like, this is how bad society is. We're not even at the point of, oh, let's teach the truth to kids. No. We're steps behind this. We are currently asking, well, you know, there's these truths that we all agree on. Should we self-deceive about them? Because they don't fit, they're too offensive. They could offend certain groups of society. So let's not say it. You see it in the gender domain, in the race domain. You saw it in the vaccine domain. You basically have a bunch of people controlling society, including teachers, who have decided that the truth is just, it's not even a concern. We can decide not to pursue it. We can lie to ourselves, and we can lie to everyone in the process. CNN, a few weeks ago, was comparing the National Guard in DC to Nazis, and today, what did we just see? A shooting of two members of the National Guard by perhaps a form of terrorism. They call it for now a targeted shooting, but the shooter has not been officially identified. But look at how they were describing the National Guard 2 weeks ago on CNN.
Actually, what the president is doing through the Secretary of Defense is creating units, official military units, to, quite frankly, watch the American people. And that's the thing that is absolutely abhorrent. It reminds me so much of what happened in Germany in the 1930s.
So now Libs of TikTok is saying, see, this is leftist calls to violence. They start by pointing to these Trump-appointed police. Oh, breaking. The attacker has been identified as 29-year-old Ramanullah Lakhanwal, an Afghan national who entered the United States in 2021. Isn't that interesting? Because I speak so often of the backlash of the extension of the empire, and this is the generation of Afghans that made it in 2021 in the US. This is not random stuff. They were people who the U.S. government, but probably with lots of incompetence, but the U.S. government started claiming, no, no, these guys are the good Afghans. And it's like, I don't think, I don't think you understand the meaning of the words that you're using. So we had this conception in U.S. immigration policy that the extension of the empire, the winning of the Afghan war, had been made possible in the control that we were able to apply temporarily and inefficiently to the country of Afghanistan, that it was made possible by local collabos. Local Afghans who were our translators, and they were so important in interfacing with the Afghan community, helping save Afghan women from oppression. All of this discourse. And there started to be a big movement. Big, I mean, in relation to other waves of immigration, perhaps not that big, but certainly there was a big wave of migration post-Afghan war where our government employees were starting to argue, well, they helped us so much. Shouldn't we reward them with citizenship? Shouldn't we let them back? Because as the American empire, we have a duty when we go at war in a country and we have our collaborators in that country, we must protect them once we lose control of that country. Why is it that these arguments always go in the direction of diluting the American current demographics? Why is it that these arguments are used again and again to justify every single wave of migrations, except letting whites into America forever since World War II and perhaps before? I'm sure there were examples before, but there was the same discourse around Jews in World War II, and even Nick Fuentes fell for it to an extent when he makes the history of the CIA and he says, you know, the Jews were critical informants as part of World War II. It's like, informants is not the right word. You are being manipulated. Now, any society that you do what they did, Afghanistan, Iraq, and even Ukraine to some extent, any society that you impose some imperial power onto, there's going to be a class of elites and that are willing to betray their own people to serve you. Now, these people are not the best. They are, in fact, the worst. They are the worst of the worst. They are absolute betas willing to betray their own people, their own families, their own nation. And they do so for personal gain. And they are willing to serve fascistic enterprise of all sorts. So was it a good idea to invite these people into America? No, absolutely bad idea. And so that's probably, at least if your report on the regular chat is correct, that's probably a phenomenon of backlash of the empire. Here, this guy, if he came from Afghanistan into the US in 2021, I bet you he was involved into some sort of translation, intelligence gathering, collaboration with the American army. Because those are exactly the years where we started making the where we started hearing the argument that we should welcome all of these people. All of these people because they're the good Afghans. They're the ones that don't want women in veil and not going to school. Oh, wow. Very impressive. Wow, you're telling me you don't want women out of school? Wow, what a great citizen. Gus Grizzle says, doesn't matter now. There's so many other groups in the US. Another one won't matter. Oh, yeah, sure. You can have the kind of accelerationist view of might as well give trouble to the melting pot by making it even bigger, by throwing in even more vegetables. Someone was asking earlier on the regular chat, do you have advice for incels? Work on your value. That's the only thing you can do. So work on your value. That can mean exercise, lose weight, gain in attractiveness. That can mean gain in wealth, gain in social positioning. Do something that increases your perceived social value. It may not be what you like, but still do it. It's an entire art, the art of being desirable. And it's not what people think. I'm not talking here about finding the right words to say to the woman. The right words, they will come or they won't come, and she will find you kind of quirky for it. And that doesn't matter. A woman has decided that she wants to be with you based on your social status, your financial positioning, and your looks. So the decision is already made there. So the only way, if you want to improve your situation as an incel, it depends on what kind of incel you are. Are you a salvageable incel? If you're not a salvageable incel, you need to go full hermit. You need to start the biggest collection of genuine Atari games, Atari 2600, all laid on your wall. Make it your, whatever is your life project, do it and be a hermit if you think you're not salvageable. And that's for the people who are on the scale of 1 out of 10, 2 out of 10, very ugly, very fat, or like they are in a situation where there's not even a hope that they could be employed or have money in any form. So if you're at the bottom of the scale, go full hermit. Specialize in something. I don't know. Call of Duty, Dota. Become an expert at it. Enjoy your life. You have been given, end of the line, Joel calls it Funko Pop maxing. Exactly. Go buy all of the Funko Pops. Whatever it is that fascinates you, spend your life on this and forget about it. If you're more in the range of 3 out of 10 to 5 out of 10, and you are salvageable, then you can work on just improve your physique, improve your social status, desirability, and also never forget that female interest comes in waves. You know, right now the females are extremely prudish. There will be waves, especially if we can get some economic crash or some crash of the social welfare system, or if we can get something like this, something that's thrown at them, a curveball. If we can get a little curveball to our beloved female member of the species, don't forget that, you know, unless you're getting old and you're now entering the non-reproductive part of your life, there's still hope. It's not because it doesn't work right now that under certain circumstances in 5 years from now it may work. Suffice that a couple of economic events to push women into the arms of men, and suddenly a man that was undesirable passes the threshold of, okay, I'm going to live with him. those are my counsels. Now, it depends on working on yourself. It depends on what are your areas of expertise. Some people, they might decide, well, my physique is not improvable. And so, well, improve other things. Find a way to be self-employed, to make more money, find a way to make investment, find a way to acquire social standing of various sorts in various communities. Also, once you have worked on yourself and improved your value and desirability, you need to broaden and expand your radar for acquisition of women. So it's very dangerous to be isolated in a low female population area. And the females above 35 years old, they don't count. So when I say a low population area of females, I mean low in the sense that there aren't many families with reproductive females of your age. That is one thing to consider. You may live in those areas very well. You may eventually bring your new wife to these areas, but they are not areas to pick up girls. And so the way you broaden your scope is by exposing yourself. Once you decide that, okay, I've done all the work to be as desirable as I could, or at least I've given a push in that direction. Now you need to establish contacts with women. And there's basically three ways to be in contact with women. There is the websites, the dating websites. It has its consequences. You'll be objectified by these women. These women are often sperm hunters. They expect you to be an object of production in their life. You probably want, they're probably detached. They probably will drop you eventually, but it's a way to approach women. Then there's the cold physical approach woman. Those are women you would approach at bars or bistros or half bar, half restaurants. There's always, in a city, you have to study the city, the structure of the city. And you'll always see that there are these particular restaurant bars where singles tend to aggregate. So you have to detect these places and you have to show up. And you have to initiate contact, cold approach. Now, cold approach is hard. Unless you are an extremely special man, cold approach is actually very low success. Very low success. Now, you're going to have to study also the proportion of female population in various areas. Because if you get in a university town, with all the departments of psychology filled with women, there is a surplus of women in these particular cities. Now, so you want to be in these cities at the bars where the singles hang out, and you're going to have a lot of opportunities for cold approach. But keep in mind, we tried cold approach with some of our audience members. It's like a 1 out of 100, maybe 1 out of 1,000 success rate for even getting the phone number. So there's various ways you can be more successful on this. But cold approach on the streets without filtering, it's 1 out of 1,000 that will call you back, that will somehow exchange positive information with you. Now, if you go to single places where there are singles, bars, bistros of this sort, then you can have a higher success rate than 1 in 1,000. John Drake says, if you don't look like Brad Pitt, it's a losing play to pick up women unless they're loaded drunk. Yeah, I mean, you have to target certain areas. They don't have to be that drunk, but they have to be basically on a quest already to be seeking a man for that night, or to be seeking a man for his phone number. And that is just a very rare proportion of all the women you see on the streets. So it's feasible. It's feasible, but extremely wearing on the mind. And it's like a constant, it sucks to do it. And then the third option that I know of, those are the two main options if you're not a celebrity. The third option is to be a celebrity. And that works. That works. But I don't know. Not every man can do it. So, but becoming a YouTube celebrity, even of a relatively small channel, small exposure, can give you a woman. But there's a lot of other sacrifices involved. So you have to decide among these three approaches what is advantageous to you. Sharp says, is JF a vegan guy or keto perfect hair guy? I'm on a very keto-like diet at this moment. Just stabilizing my health and just eating relatively healthy. But I'm mostly on, I don't know if this qualifies as keto. I am on meat. I eat meat and then I eat zero calorie vegetables. So like broccolis, vegetables that don't matter. Vegetables that don't come with so much calorie that they count. Ked's Dad says, JF is on the use what's in the fridge diet. Yeah, I mean, there's meat and eggs. Meat, eggs, and then low-calorie vegetables. That's currently my diet. Stabilize that HbA1c baby. I don't even know what that means. HbA1c, is that some sort of keto meme for real, or is that a genetic subdivision of some sort? Butter, says Stephen Robinson. Yes, I do still consume some butter. Today I helped stop a robbery and then followed the mail after calling the police. He then returned back to the cash machine. The male attacked a woman at a cash point trying to steal the card or money. He elbowed her a number of times before another person helped me to stop the attack. I called the police and it took almost 20 minutes for them to arrive, and not on blues and twos. As soon as they pulled up, I spoke to them and they told me if the victim has gone, no arrest will be made. No urgency in getting out of the car, and seemed almost dismissive of what happened. I watched in shock as the male was not even searched and then released. During my time in the police for a decade, this would not have happened. What has changed since then? And this is what we have ended up with. Met Police UK. Well, no shit. No shit. The police in the UK isn't trying to fight crime anymore. Marby Dog says, holiday season is a good time for cold approach. Lonely women are more receptive around the holidays. I never noticed that. I guess maybe you have found a niche. I don't even know about this. Because I never even know that we're in the holidays. I don't really have a concept of date other than just maintaining my own schedule. Like, I don't have a concept that, oh, it's Thanksgiving. Or, oh, it's this or that. So I guess that I may be missing some of this action. people are commenting on what are the factors that make women find you interesting. All right. Chronic Boom says, this is just like the booby streamer live murder. Oh, it happened in Mexico. Never mind, not a story. Yeah, the English police not doing their job properly. Not a big news story. OpenAI needs to fill $207 billion funding hole in by 2030. As the AI circle jerk rages on, OpenAI, the company behind ChatGPT, will need to raise at least $207 billion more by 2030 to simply keep the lights on, according to a new analysis by HSBC, which takes into account recently disclosed mega deals with Microsoft, Amazon, and Oracle. I personally, I believe that I believe that OpenAI, I don't understand how they would make it, how they would make it alive in the market. I don't find their AI fascinating. I don't find that it's worth paying for. So the detail selling of this AI, I don't see a market being very interesting for it. It's too manipulated. It's too human guided. It's too leftist controlled. Now, there may be business in the corporate world for it, but are you going to generate $207 billion of business? It seems like when the alternatives are available, like Grok, they are less human interfered with. They are more free to pursue the truth for real. Why would you want to dump massive amounts of money onto OpenAI? To maintain the lie? To maintain the lie in a corporate space? I don't know. Maybe they want their employees to benefit from ChatGPT outputs. I think that ChatGPT does okay work. You can ask it to code something and it's going to do it to an extent. And yes, those things will have economic values, but the competition will be there, and there's nothing very unique about ChatGPT other than it's currently being beaten by Grok and it's cocked. It's been hard-coded, cocked. End of the line. Joel says, normies think that AI is just TikTok, Sora, viral videos with Suno music. No, definitely there is a certain market for automated work that is virtual in nature. So one thing that sucks when you're a big company is, how do I get little slaves, even if they're not physically in my building, how do I get little slaves on the internet to actually do the work that I want them to do? So how do I get a team of 30 Indian programmers, which I've had for such a cheap price? I mean, they are my employees. I can have them do anything during 8 hours of the day or more. But how do I transform this into an actual product, say a basic programming setup? It's very hard. It's very hard, and AI does it better. So there will be definitely, it's ridiculous. You can ask, at some point, you're going to be able to ask for a full programming suit, a full already developed game, a full already developed software that would have cost you millions of dollars, literally millions of dollars, to just get to the working prototype. Grok is going to do this for you in a minute. So definitely there will be a market, but I don't know how OpenAI will have this market. If Grok is cheaper, more accessible, more real, and it does everything as well, at least, as ChatGPT, and very often better, then why would people need OpenAI other than these corporate deals between Microsoft, Amazon, Oracle? End of the line, Joel says, AI chat agents are getting more censored, not less. Using a local LLM makes more and more sense. Yes, there will be a small market of resistance, I guess, for people running their own running their own LLMs. John Drake says open source LLMs running locally will do a better job than centralized systems in many cases. Yeah, we're faced with the problem that once these things are developed, I think that they don't have much innovation that's specific to their own. They are very copyable. They are very imitable. You just have to look at how Grok developed so quick. When Elon Musk started yapping against Sam Altman, it took a couple of months between that moment and where Grok was just instantly just as good as ChatGPT. There's been some copying happening there. And that's because AI is very easy to copy because the companies don't even understand what they're doing. All they're doing really is throw more computational power at the complexity of the world until the output is satisfying. Kids Dead says, JF, have you ever considered making a OF for insemination content? No, I don't see why that would... you want me to publish porn that I produce? What? I don't think that would help insemination. Or do you mean I would have an OnlyFans, but it would be a scientific OnlyFans where I talk about the science and biology of insemination? End of the line, Joel says, Copilot and ChatGPT are still not searching live news. Yeah, and Grok does it. At least it tries. Sometimes Grok has these bizarre reflexes that are like, oh, did you learn this from ChatGPT? But at least it tries, and Grok can give you very good calls on current development. John Drake says, ChatGPT won't step around a barrier put up by a third party, but your local LLM will. Yes. Now, on the other hand, my understanding is that the LLM is the model, but to produce the model, you need enormous computational power. Is that how it works? Once you have the model, it's in a compactified form. And that model can be run locally. But to get to that model, you need somewhat extensive computations to get it there. End of the line, Joel says they are just trained on pirated books and Wikipedia. Oh yeah, that must be one of the mechanisms. Absolutely. Sharp says, JF should do a plumbing video. I have good vague now. Okay, a plumbing video. I've already done a plumbing video. You should go back and see it. I've shown all of these steps to get started into being a plumber. The Zoomer Move says, is Europe more or less fucked than America? That's a good question. That's a good question. Because Europe, generally, for most of the countries, are positioned in a more northern position. And life is harder in these northern positions for immigrants and other races. So definitely Europe has something going for it, especially if you consider northern countries like Sweden. And even the UK, eventually, if you think of it, they are northern enough that their climate is repulsive for the demographic change. So it works in the advantage of whites. I believe that most of America is doomed in terms of white majority. I believe the U.S. is too southern anyway, too close to the equator. and you are bound to eventually lose the evolutionary race, because white people are simply did not emerge in equatorial positions. White people did not emerge at the height of North Africa. But as I was showing on the other show, North Africa is more northern than certain positions within the US. If you're in Florida, for example, you live closer to the equator than North Africans. So you are already outside of the natural environment of white people, which is why I'm saying for those people who think that Texas is going to be a stronghold of American conservatism, you are deluded. Texas is already in the process of converting toward a Latino socialist place. GM for the People says it comes down to who are the best co-op tech using clan. Okay, that is one view. So to answer the question of the super chat, in some ways, there are certain countries in Europe that have a chance at a reconquista that the US probably doesn't. If the US loses control to Hispanic socialism in alliance with other races, in alliance with Georgian African-Americanism, I don't think it can be recovered. Whereas if Sweden has migrant problems and a demographic instability caused by their government, I think that down the line, Sweden is recoverable. I think that down the line, nature comes back galloping and life is hard in the north. And just the cold that I started the show in earlier at the beginning of the show, I mean, this is very hard to endure for certain minorities. Kids Dead says, I'm in Texas. JF is right, but damn, I love Latinas. Well, there you go. There you go. You have it right there. John Drake says, Texas will be back in Mexico's hands within a generation. I absolutely agree. It is not a solution. Texas is not a solution to continued American conservatism. Absolutely not. And they have already started. I faced absolute injustice in Texas. They don't care. They have governments intervening in families. This is not a conservative government. A conservative government does not try to kidnap a spouse from another spouse because her father disagrees that she's with him. That is a communist, feminist, socialist nation. So that's all I had to say for today. I'm sorry, but I'll cut the show short because I'm exhausted tonight. Today I woke up early. I had lots of errands to do, so I'll go chill out and relax. And that is what I had to say for this. Ask me anything. Guitar Jam says, "What do you think of the nuclear-powered cruise missile? Do you think these mini nuclear reactors can contribute to space exploration?" Nuclear reaction in general are seemingly energetically efficient, and the smaller we can make them, and the more we can master the fine scale rather than just the explosion, but the fine scale of nuclear fuel generation of energy, I'm all for it in general. Like, use this energy to the extent that it serves good purposes. Now, is a cruise missile a good purpose? Generally not, but we have to have them. Will it contribute to space exploration? not in magical ways, but perhaps in ways of improving energy efficiency. I don't think it's going to get you to warp drive or visiting other solar system or any of this, but it may have its role as an energy efficient way to power acceleration within the solar system. I'd say yes, I'm open to the idea, but I'm sure there are all sorts of technical obstacles also. And I'm sure there's nothing magical in this, and that there's always a huge technical cost to pay, because if you're going to carry basically a nuclear reactor onto a missile, that's much more complex, probably much more easy to destroy. Imagine how easy it is to destroy a super fine complex system of that kind, as opposed to just an explosive device that just uses explosions to move forward. Rookie says, Jeff, are you still cool with Warski? When did you last speak? Well, I am not very cool with Warski. No, I do not respect this man. So no, when did you last speak? I last spoke to him around the days where I left Warski Live, or maybe just a little after. But yeah, those were the days. Warski doesn't matter. Warski is a deluded man and not particularly intelligent. So it doesn't matter to me what happens to him. Bye-bye, everyone, and I'm going to sleep. Have a good night. Have a good day. And I should be back tomorrow, maybe in better shape.